This episode is brought to you by Funnables. Funnables aren't just fruit snacks. Every bite your child takes is fuel to spark their imagination, taking them from a wild unicorn space mission to a deep sea dive into a rainbow river. Funnables are made with 7.1% real fruit puree and are an excellent source of vitamins A, C, and E. So anytime, anyplace, make snack time playtime with Funnables fruit snacks. Have fun, eat it too. Visit FunnablesSnacks.com to shop now.
Hello, and welcome to the Roam Around League podcast. I'm your host, former NFL scout, Tyler Roman. Today's episode, I'm going to take a look back at the Washington football team and Los Angeles Chargers game this past Sunday. There was a lot of mistakes that need to be corrected going forward for this team to be successful. Look at the matchup versus the Giants on Thursday. It's a quick turnaround, so they need to bounce back quickly. I also look at some of the waiver wire pickups for your fantasy football teams for this week. A lot to get to, so let's get started. You know, wrapping up the Los Angeles Chargers game, obviously one of the biggest takeaways is Ryan Fitzpatrick's injury. At the time of this recording on Tuesday, he's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. So you're looking basically late October, early November. Obviously, Heinicke's the guy. You know, Heinicke is the quarterback for this team for at least that time period, as long as he can stay healthy. Obviously, that's one of the biggest downfalls for him is him, you know, staying healthy throughout his career. He put on 15 pounds of muscle this offseason, so hopefully that will help him accomplish that. You know, I did that film review a couple months ago talking about his performance against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on the podcast, and, you know, I liked a lot of what I saw. There's a lot to build on. There's a lot to, you know, that they can play with. His mobility is going to be very beneficial for this team, especially with the offensive line struggles that we saw from Sam Cosmi and Charles Leno. Obviously, that's why Fitz got hurt. Cosmi got bull rushed and got Fitz landed on awkwardly, and, you know, that's why they're in this predicament. So that's going to help with Heinicke, a guy that, you know, escape the pocket, elude the pocket. You know, he's able to, you saw how shifty and crafty he is with that shovel pass to Terry McLaurin that picked up, you know, 12, 13 yards. So I have some faith in Heinicke. Like I said, I like that film review I did with him against Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think this team can win with him as long as the defense holds up their end of the bargain, which they didn't do, you know, that good of a job in week one. And as long as his weapons, Terry McLaurin, get involved like he did in, you know, the game plan on, you know, what they would expect with Terry didn't get the ball in the first half. Logan Thomas barely got the ball. So, you know, they really need to help. They need, you know, to lean on those guys going forward to help Taylor be successful, getting Terry the ball, getting Logan the ball, getting Antonio Gibson the ball, getting De'Ami Brown or Cam Sims the ball, get him involved early. So definitely, you know, I think this team, like I said, can be successful with Heinicke. You know, this is the ultimate tryout for Heinicke. If he wants to be a starter in this league, this is where he's going to, you know, show it. If he's successful when he gets his team, you know, winning, so they have a winning record these next 6 to 8 weeks, they're not going back to Fitz. There's no reason to. If they get a winning record with Heinicke, he should be their guy for the rest of the year. So, and I think it's plausible. It's a tougher schedule these next 6 to 8 weeks, but if their defense shows up like they should, Heinicke just plays good ball, doesn't turn the ball over, moves the ball down the field, I think Heinicke can, you know, be the starting quarterback for this team and be them, keep them afloat and, you know, in the race in the NFC East. He's a guy that, you know, reads the field very well and quickly. That's really good from a quarterback perspective to go through your progressions in a timely manner, because obviously you don't have all day, you know, back there throwing the ball. Very, very, you know, good from a clean pocket. When he gets, you know, his back step, he's, you know, pretty accurate. So, again, a guy that I think, you know, will keep this team afloat and be successful as long as he's starting quarterback for this team. And the takeaways from, you know, the running back and wide receiver rotation, they obviously lean on Antonio Gibson a lot. I get that he's going to be one of the best young running backs in the league this year. I also think they maybe should, you know, sprinkle in JD and Jared Pass a little more. You don't want to run Antonio Gibson into the ground this early in the season. He's going to be someone obviously they count on, and for the whole season, you got to keep him healthy. It's a 17 game season this year. So I as much as, you know, I want to get Gibson the ball, I think they, you know, just for the sake of keeping him healthy, they need to switch it up a little more. To keep him fresh all year long. Receiver rotation is interesting. I'm a big De'Ami Brown fan. Obviously, if you're listening to this podcast, you know that. I thought he'd be more effective in year two, you know, which in 2022. But obviously, he's playing a lot right now because of Curtis Samuel's injury. He looked like a rookie on Sunday. He did. He didn't flash, you know, looked a little lost sometimes. So I really am a little confused of why Cam Sims only got two plays. You know, one of the plays, he had a 17-yard first down. Heinicke has a good rapport with Cam Sims in that playoff game. Makes Tampa Bay look his way a lot. So I expect Cam to get back in the rotation on Thursday. I don't know why Cam barely got any run on this past Sunday. So I think Cam should get a good amount of action. Diami still should as well. I don't want him to not play at all, but I just thought it was a little odd that he got so much run as he did right away. So I definitely look to get Cam involved. They have two open roster spots now with Fitzpatrick and Curtis Samuel on IR. Interesting to see who they bring up, whether they bring back up Antonio Gandy-Golden and give him a shot. Maybe they bring in another running back. Jonathan Williams is on the practice squad. I'm interested to see if they fill those two roster spots for Thursday. I would assume they would, but as of this recording, they have not. Tight end-wise, obviously Logan, got his run as should. He got some more targets in the second half. It was a nice touchdown catch he had from Heineke. Interesting that Ricky Seals-Jones seems to be backup tight end. He was in more than John Bates. Samus Reyes is inactive, which I kind of expected. He's not ready to play. I expect him to be a healthy scratch most of the year, if not all year. So, definitely want to get some more production out of those backups just so Logan doesn't have so much pressure on him. Like I mentioned a little earlier, offensive line wasn't great. Cosme did not look good. Obviously, it's going against a guy like Bosa. It's understandable. He is still raw. His technique needs some work, and that wasn't going to happen overnight or, one offseason that he's had so far in the NFL. So, it's going to be a learning process. This is who they, stuck with. Obviously, after cutting Morgan Moses, this is, they knew they were going to have some growing pains, and this is exactly what's happening right now. So I doesn't expect, obviously, you want Leno to get better. You don't want a guy that's been a starter for 6-7 years to, be a casualty on that left side. So or a problem. So hopefully that gets rectified. I thought the interior did okay for the most part. Sheriff had a few penalties. Rui was solid as usual at center. I thought Ara Flowers was good in the run game, like he usually is, at least going back to his first time in Washington in 2019. Defensive line needs to step up. No really flash plays, obviously. Montez Sweat had that force fumble, which is arguably a pass, but luckily for Washington, they called it a force fumble. Chase had that really nice play at the end of the game to keep them alive, to make it third down. But those guys need to flash more. I mean, this is what this team is built on. These are supposed to be their best players. Obviously, the Chargers had a good offensive line, but they were going against Rashawn Slater, a left tackle who, there's no way around it. He owned Chase and Montez. Like, he did exactly what he did to Chase at Ohio State. They have to, if they want to be elite, if they want to be in the TJ Watts of the world or Joey Bosa's, Chandler Jones, they have to make that next step. And I know it's their second and third year, but for this team to get where they want, especially with the quarterback play that they have, this team, if they want to get back to the playoffs, those guys have to be outright dominant or close to it. And obviously, that was not the case this past Sunday. I know fatigue was part of it, that they didn't play a lot. They didn't play as much as they would in a normal game. That's to be expected with the preseason. When you don't get that many reps, your wind is not there. Your fatigue is, struggling. And that was evident because obviously they didn't show up very much. Interior wasn't that great either, as well. Deron had, one of nice two swaps. Anitis got a rush. A couple nice rushes. He got held on one. That was pretty clear that resulted in a pretty solid play for the Chargers, unfortunately. But, other than that, like I said, this is supposed to be the bread and butter of the team. And I was just disappointed in the way their first performance of the year. Obviously, it's a long way to go. Still very high on these guys. Some of the best, up and coming pass rushers in the league and defensive linemen overall. So, I expect them to bounce back in the Giants. They have too much pride not to. Secondary was suspect. I thought it was odd, the lack of reps for Cam Curl. I think he played about half the game, about 37 snaps out of, 69 total. It was a lot of Bobby McCain and Landon Collins. And Bobby McCain played very well. I was impressed with him. He had some nice, he was good in coverage. He came up, made a couple of nice plays in the run game, and, stopping receivers have bigger gains. He made a couple of nice, sticks on some guys. So I was impressed with Bobby McCain. He is a true free safety, so I'm not surprised that he got as much run as he did. But, Cam needs to be out there as well. Landon, like I said, I'm high on him. I've talked about that in that podcast. I think this podcast, he's going to get better as he gets more reps and get healthy, even healthier. So, my biggest concern is the cornerback. William Jackson III was worth every penny so far in that first game. He was great in man coverage. Did a good job on Mike Williams. Obviously, it was a great interception late in the game. Kendall Fuller did not play well in the slot or on the outside. Didn't get his head around on one of the balls to Jalen Guyton. Benjamin St. Juice was pretty bad. He was good in man coverage, but like I saw in Minnesota, he does not get his head around very quickly, and that's cost him this. Especially when you're going up with a guy like Herbert that likes to throw that back shoulder ball and has receivers to do it, you have to be on high alert to do that. And again, he's a rookie. It was pretty evident that he was a rookie out there. Torrey McTyre played bad. He only got a couple plays, wasn't good in the slot. honestly, he looked lost out there a couple times. Keenan Allen turned him around, which we expected. Keenan Allen's one of the best receivers in the NFL, but, you know, Torrey just did look, again, just looked lost. They were high on him in the preseason. He had a good preseason as well, but makes you wonder why, you know, a guy like Jimmy Moreland was cut, who had, you know, more experience in the slot going into his third year. But, yeah, that's obviously a move that's, you know, done and not doesn't even talked about. But again, Torrey didn't look good. But, you know, the corners need to step up, and because this is not going to be, this is going to be a recurring theme, because they're going against great quarterbacks after great quarterback. They're getting a reprieve hopefully this week going against Daniel Jones, but then you have Josh Allen, Matt Ryan, Jameis Winston look good. And that's the following week. You guys got, you have Mahomes, Rodgers, Brady, Russell Wilson all on the schedule. So Dak Prescott as well. So they have to get this rectified. They have to get it rectified quickly, because this is not going to be the first time that they're facing a great quarterback. And Herbert is a great quarterback. Even going into his second year, he's the real deal. And someone the Chargers are going to be, you know, building around for years to come, and, you know, potentially competing for Super Bowls, even in that division with Mahomes. Herbert's going to be a guy that'll be reckoned with in the AFC. But anyways, yeah, secondary needs to be, you know, clean up a lot of stuff. And honestly, the score was not as close as it, you know, said. 2016, defense had a lot of, Chargers had a couple of drop passes. That the two turnovers in the red zone, it could have been a lot worse. The Washington was lucky to only lose by 4 points. And obviously, you could take that a few ways, that, you know, it's good that they played as poorly as they did and still only lost by 4-1 possession game. So you look in the positive manner too, but definitely there's a lot of things that need to be cleaned up. Moving on to the Giants game, they didn't play as well either, very well against Denver. Denver's, I think, going to be a sneaky team that AFC West, as long as Teddy Bridgewater plays like he did in week one. They have a great defense. They did a good job against the Giants offense. Daniel Jones does what he does and turns the ball over. Hopefully that continues against Washington. Saquon Barkley was limited due to his coming back from the ACL. I expect him to be limited again on Thursday. And plus, Washington had a good success against him, at least one of the games in 2019. You know, maybe they could stop the run as well against him. Kenny Galladay had a couple of nice catches. He's another big body guy. If they're going to throw back shoulders, that's where this team was exploited at against the Chargers. That's something to look out for. Hopefully, William Jackson's more on Kenny Galladay. Sterling Shepard is a good slot receiver, so Kendall's got to be on his A game and, you know, play better than he did last week. Darius Slayton's a good wide receiver, too, as well for the Giants. Evan Ingram was out on Sunday. He has a chance to be out again on Thursday. It'll be a good help for, big help for Washington, because they have had some struggles with tight ends in the past. Jared Cook had some nice plays on Sunday, so I think Kyle Rudolph is their backup tight end, and he would be their number one option if Ingram out. On defense, they have a good interior pass rush. Leonard Williams, Dexter Lawrence. So they don't have to deal with the edge rushers that they did against the Chargers. Giants aren't really, not really have the greatest options. Aziz Ojulari is a rookie from Georgia, the second-round pick. Is probably one of their better pass rushers. But other than that, the pass rush out the middle is something they got to keep an eye on. They struggled against Denver. Denver had their way. Von Miller had a few sacks. Bradley Chubb was a great pass rusher. He did a good job as well against the Giants. So you definitely have to account for the interior pass rush, but I think Heinicke will be equipped to handle it. Have to get Terry McLaurin involved early. It was odd that he didn't get as many passes as he should have. Obviously, he had that amazing highlight catch, one of the, you know, probably the best catches you'll ever see against the Chargers. So he needs to get involved early, even if they just want to give him some screens, slants, you know, quick games. Just to get, you know, you need your best player to touch the ball, and he obviously is one of the best players on the team, if not the best player. Gibson, they need to get Gibson going. Again, I would try to get Cam Sinn sprinkled in there. Deami Brown. Giants defense was pretty poor. They've allowed over 180 yards to the Broncos on the ground, so hopefully Washington can, you know, pound the rock with Antonio Gibson, get McKissick some carries as well, even Jarrett Patterson. The Giants secondary is pretty solid. Got James Bradbury, one of the best corners in the league. Adoree Jackson is a free agent signing. A lot of speed out there in the secondary. Good safety play with Xavier McKinney and Jabril Phillips and Logan Ryan. So it's going to be a little bit of a tough task trying to get that pass game going. But again, Denver had no problem doing it. Teddy Bridgewater had a nice game. Broncos had some good receivers as well, so that helped. And Washington has some good receivers as well, too. So I think they can exploit those matchups. I think Scott's going to have hopefully a much better game plan going into the Giants game. I know he likes to do rollouts. He doesn't do that. He didn't do that very much last year with Alex because of the injury. Didn't see it very much with Ryan. So with a more mobile quarterback with Taylor Heinicke, I expect to see some rollout game. Try to get some good plays in that. In that alignment, especially with Heinicke, he can take off and run if nothing's there. So I'm expecting to see more of that. just to get this offense going and get get flowing, because they need to, and this defense can't do everything. And clearly, if they're going to play later week one, they have to score some points. But again, I don't want to sound too poor on defense. I think they need to step up, because it was bad to see them have a 14-18 performance on third downs. A lot of miscommunication, like Ron said. There's a lot of guys covering two guys at once. A lot of things that can be rectified, but it just gives you, unfortunately, flashbacks to the defense that were led by Joe Barry and Greg Minuski, and you don't want to see that ever again, because those are some horrible defenses, and these are great defensive minds, and Ron Rivera and Jack Del Rio, so I think they'll get it rectified. It was just disheartening to see this defense revert to some of those bad habits of a couple years ago. So I think the Giants game is a huge game. This is the first and only division game for a couple months. They don't play a division game again until the last five games of the season, and they're all division games at that point. So it's nice to get some get back with the Giants too. They haven't beat them since 2018. So it's time to get off the schneid there. I think it's going to be a good game. I think Washington's going to come out, hyped, ready. They got borderline embarrassed on defense, so I think they're going to come out with some pride and do the best they can to put on a good performance at home, nationally televised against the Giants, and kind of back up some of that talk that the media was giving them all offseason, based on how great this defense would be, and hopefully they can show that and validate that that high praise. Moving on to the fantasy football perspective of the podcast. Some waiver wire pickups. Jameis Winston is a guy to look at, obviously, pretty evident with having five touchdowns against the Green Bay Packers, going to the Carolina Packers, the Carolina Panthers this week. Carolina, obviously, they have a couple good players in defense. They have an improving secondary with J.C. Horn, Jeremy Chin at safety, A.J. Boye at corner. So I think it's not a perfect matchup, but I think Jameis can make some good plays again. They've always had some good success against Carolina, in all of Sean Payton's years there in New Orleans. So I think Jameis would be a good pickup, a guy you can start. Maybe he's a top 15 play, maybe top 20. But Jameis definitely is a guy that you could hang your hat on, at least to have as a QB2 in your roster. Another little guy to mention, Tyrod Taylor. He's playing Cleveland this week, so it's a tougher matchup. But he's a guy that maybe if you want to roster as a QB2. Love a guy that you can provide some stats for you in the run game. Tyrod's going to be a guy that also can give you 30 or 40 yards a game rushing, and maybe a rushing touchdown as well. He had a great first game against the Jaguars, and he's a guy that consider just to have on your bench going forward when you have a guy on bye, or maybe just matchup based. Tyrod might be someone to consider. Running backs, Mark Ingram, going back to the Houston Texans backfield. Mark was clearly number one running back in that committee with Philip Lindsay and David Johnson. He had 26 carries, 85 yards, and a touchdown. He has a lot of familiarity with the head coach in Baltimore, head coach in Houston, David Culley, who was with him in Baltimore. So I think he's given Ingram every chance he can to be that number one back. So I don't expect Ingram to get 26 carries every week, but obviously if you're looking for running back pickup, Ingram's a guy to look at if he's going to get that much volume. 26 carries is a lot of volume in today's NFL. Next, Elijah Mitchell, running back for the San Francisco 49ers. He had 19 carries, 104 yards, and a touchdown. They're playing Philly at Philly this week. Mitchell's a guy I really liked coming to Louisiana last year. He was a sixth-round pick. He had a great career at Louisiana. Obviously, he's a guy that Kyle Shanahan likes a lot. He made Mitchell active over Trey Sermon, who Sermon, I think, was a third-round pick. Mitchell, a sixth-round pick. So thing you got to take into consideration here is that Kyle, he definitely does a little committee in that backfield. Elijah Mitchell could be a star this week and get five carries next week, but definitely needs to be rostered. I expect him to be the starting running back this week, just based off the volume he got last week when Raheem Mostert went down. Mostert's out for eight weeks. So it looks like Mitchell's going to get that first opportunity. I expect Trey Sermon to be active this week just because, with Mostert out, but I expect Mitchell to get that first crack at, being the dominant running back in that backfield. Some wide receivers, you get Tim Patrick, wide receiver from the Denver Broncos. He had four catches and 39 yards and a touchdown this past week against the Giants. They're playing Jacksonville Jaguars this week. It's a really good matchup. I think it's pretty self-explanatory why that's a good matchup. Jacksonville's going to be one of the worst teams in the NFL this year. Tim Patrick's a guy, a lot of talent, big body receiver, Teddy Bridgewater. I could definitely like throwing to him, I could tell already. He's going to, especially with Jerry Jeudy out for the next 4 to 6 weeks, this is a guy I would look to get. He's going to start opposite of Cortland Sutton. Patrick had a nice year last year, 51 catches, 742 yards, and 6 touchdowns. filling in for Courtland Sutton when he turned his ACL. So Patrick's the guy to look at. Nelson Aguilar, the receiver for the Patriots, 5 catches, 72 yards and a touchdown. Get a good matchup against the Jets this week. Mac Jones looked, you know, very competent and very solid in his first start. I think Nelson Aguilar is clearly their number one wide receiver in New England. Obviously, he's still fighting his targets at tight end with Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry, but Aguilar is a guy that, if you're going to pick a Patriots receiver, he's someone to consider. Then you got Bryan Edwards, a receiver for the Las Vegas Raiders. Monday night, he had 4 catches, 81 yards. It all was until the late fourth quarter and overtime, but he's a guy they've been talking up all training camp, all preseason. He was a guy really talented in South Carolina, had a few injuries, is why he dropped in the draft. But he's a physical freak. I think Gruden compared him to Terrell Owens. I'm not going to go that far, but you know, he was evident even in that play that almost was the game when he touched down in overtime. Beautiful adjustment to come back to the ball and carry his defender a couple yards, almost get into the end zone. So Bryan Edwards is a guy to consider because I think Carr likes him, and he could be that number one receiver for the Raiders. Obviously, Darren Waller is still their number one weapon, wide receiver or tight end, but Edwards is a guy that might be their actual number one receiver going forward the rest of the year. And lastly, at tight end, you got Juwan Johnson, tight end from the Saints, 3 catches, 21 yards, 2 touchdowns. He did a lot with his snaps. He only played 18 snaps, but he's a guy that they really like. I've heard as well in New Orleans. He was a former receiver at Tennessee, another guy that, you know, making that position switch. He's more maybe if you're in a dynasty league, someone definitely to look at because I think he's only going to get better as he learns that tight end position. He's still splitting reps to Adam Trautman, their second round pick or third round pick back in 2020. I'm a guy from small school in Dayton, dominated that level, and I know they like him a lot as well. And actually, Trautman played a lot more snaps. He played about 81% more. He played 81%, Juwan played 19% for the game. And he had 6 targets. That was most of any New Orleans receivers or tight end. So Trautman's a guy maybe you want to consider as well, but Juwan Johnson's the one that had 2 touchdowns this past week, so it looks like Juwan is definitely more of a red zone target that they look for, or Jameis looks for, when they get down there. With that will conclude this Roman Around the League episode. Washington football team had a tough season opener, but they will look to get back on track this Thursday. I don't want to call it a must-win, but it's a very important game early in this season, especially with a tough matchup in Buffalo coming in week 3. Also, I hope some of these fantasy tips help you in your leagues. Next week, I'll be back with a new episode previewing the Washington football team game versus the Buffalo Bills. And we'll take a look back at the New York Giants game. You can follow me on Twitter at NFLScout21 and Instagram at RomanAroundTheLeague_pod. Thanks for listening. Please rate and subscribe. This is your host, Tyler Roman, signing off. See you next time.